All Gold Everything. I'm Heidi B.
I'm Marissa J.
I'm Sandy J. And Lady Gaga's in the studio with us.
It's true. Got her on vinyl right here.
I was going to say, she's not exactly here in person. It is a little misleading. But we do have her album right across from us, and we are looking at her and being inspired by her and inspired by the rumors that she may be moving to Lake Oswego, Oregon, which is just right down the street.
So. Totally down the street. She's going to be at Island Station Media Lab. Yeah.
She'll
all
be
the
podcasting
time.
With us shortly.
Oh my God, we will have
to. You know, I don't think it would be that hard to convince her, to be quite honest.
I don't think so. We're basically super fans.
We're basically super wonderful.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
We're super fans. That bitch should be our super fan. Just kidding.
She was actually one of the things that changed my life. It was Lady Gaga, sobriety, and ultramarathoning.
Oh my
God. In that order.
That's pretty incredible that you can boil it down to those three things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is incredible.
I'm a pretty simple woman, but those are the three things that inspired me and changed me.
We have a ton of things to talk about today, but one of the first things we're going to talk about is this drink that I've brought from my house for Marissa and Sandy. This is turmeric tonic, as I call it. And there is a recipe for this on my website, but it is. Everyone is always talking about turmeric, about the great qualities of turmeric, the fact that it's anti-inflammatory, it's so good for you, blah, 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 blah. But the problem is it tastes like garbage. Jeff made a drink for me out of turmeric. It's coconut water, turmeric, grapefruit, honey, ginger. I think it's the most palatable way to take...
First of all, I would really like to describe the look while Sandy does the sound.
Oh, the sound. Nice.
So the jar is now coated on the sides with what looks like to be a combination of peach or mango...
pulp.
Not pulp, but what is that? The
fiber.
You know, the... The
like puree
like drink that is nectar.
It looks
like the remains of nectar and egg yolk.
I will say it is a very bright yellow. It does stain your hands when you touch turmeric. I can't even imagine what it's doing to my teeth because I'm drinking it every day. We were talking about that this weekend. And it's staining the enamel in our sink from when I pour it out from the blender. But it's so good for your body, so I don't know what it does to your insides.
My golden milk has stained my toothbrush bristles.
Jeff's having that experience, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what do you guys think? I mean, grapefruit,
I have been drinking the tea, but the tea has black pepper in it, mm-hmm. which is supposed to aid in the absorption.
Yes, you can add black pepper to this, but I don't like the way black pepper tastes, so I don't add it to mine.
So we're going to turn yellow and not even get the benefits of the turmeric?
May provide some of the same...
It's pepper and oil is what's needed, is what I understand. Correct us if I'm wrong, listeners.
Yeah, send us an email.
I think
at
goldengirls@allgoldpod.com.
That's true. So send us your thoughts on turmeric. My understanding is that you will still be able to absorb turmeric. It's just that black pepper kind of helps absorb more.
I do not like it.
Oh, are we tasting now?
It's very bitter.
It's pretty bitter.
I heart turmeric, so I have a good feeling about this. So here I go.
You'll probably like it because you're like a vegan freak.
That was not nice.
As kind as that was. I do
you're
like
a doctor.
It.
Okay. I'll take one out of two.
I like it. I like the grapefruit. Uh-huh. It's bitter because of the grapefruit. So if you like grapefruit juice, you'll like it. I would put a little bit more honey in it just because I like me some sugar.
Yeah. Amen.
I think it might be good with orange, too. Like instead
of grapefruit.
It would be good with both, even. Yeah.
Well, so. I like the grapefruit bitterness. Yeah. I think that's yummy.
It took me a while to come around to it.
Yeah. I actually like it. I could drink this easier than the golden milk we make.
I think I could enjoy a little shot of it. This is feeling a bit much for me.
Mm-hmm. But I brought it in a giant mason jar. It's like a cup of turmeric tonic.
It's very exaggerated, yes.
Although I have to
go big or go home.
I probably wouldn't be able to drink it knowing that there's no black pepper in it.
Like, okay.
I want bang for my buck.
Well, hang on a second. Hey, Mark, you guys have any black pepper in the studio?
Got our sound guy on a scavenger hunt for black pepper now.
So everything stays stable while he's out bebopping around.
Are there little bebop marks on the screen?
Beep, beep,
yep,
beep,
we're there.
Beep, yep, we're there.
We're on the heart monitor.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So thank you very much for this taste test. That's amazing. I'm glad to know that sometimes some of this is edible. To some people, this would be edible, and to some people, it would not be.
I'm glad I just got some. Oh, we got black pepper now, and my little dog. Come here, baby.
Yay. Oh, Chip's in the house.
Chip's in the house.
For those of you that don't know Marissa, she has a little chihuahua named Chip. He's a little long hair chihuahua or something. Yeah. He's adorable.
He's basically like a cross between a little teddy bear, a bat, and a lion.
And I never hear him bark, which is like ideal.
He's the best little tiny dog
I can take
ever.
The pepper.
He thinks he's huge. He basically guards the castle gate all day long. And he protects me. Isn't that right, Chip?
I love that. Well, before we
post a picture of him to the Instagram.
Oh,
everybody
yeah,
should
you should
him.
Do that. Yeah, that's he looks like a little lion.
He is a handsome little friend.
He is. A cutie. He is. I got to give a couple shout outs before we get going. First of all, there is a new podcast launching at the end of March called Bad at Love. And these ladies have been so supportive of my own personal projects, side projects going on that I just promised them a shout out. I'm sure they're going to be incredible. So definitely tune in to Bad at Love. They'll be streaming on Apple Podcasts. And
are they local?
Check them out. I don't think they are. My guess is California, but I actually don't know them well enough to know exactly where they're from. So
well, that is a great name for a podcast.
Yeah, I am with it. I can't wait to listen.
Well, here's
it
what I'm hoping. Great. Ladies at Bad at Love, I'm really hoping that you will download my new ebook from HeidiBCoaching.com.
Yeah, give it a check it out.
So, no, they don't want to download it because they want to be bad at love
no, I
to
need
have
them,
this podcast.
I need them to download it and then read it and then review it on their podcast, I think.
Right.
Oh,
or
that
at
would
least
be
they
fun.
Could tell
yeah.
all their bad at love people how to get unbad. I mean, why would you turn into the Bad at Love podcast? It's to get better at love. Let's be serious.
Hopefully, I guess. Or just to rehash.
I don't know, but have you heard that podcast about like dudes I fucked?
Mm. Oh, shit.
There's
that's funny.
No improvement in that podcast.
I guess that's true. But a good bitch sesh is just as valid. I don't want to downplay that. I had some podcast shout outs to give too.
Mm-hmm.
I have been checking out a podcast called Luscious Living.
Oh, yeah. They just changed their name to Luscious Hustle.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. They're fun, and they're up in Canada, and I don't know, they really like All Gold Pod everything. They click like on stuff and everything. So
oh my gosh!
So I took a listen, yeah. And they're great. I've been enjoying their podcast a lot. They do this other little thing that they call Luscious Bites, which are shorter versions of their podcast, which I thought was fun and something we might consider doing in the future. So
I think
cool.
I might have sent them a dick pic link. Yeah. Not of a dick, not an actual dick pic, but I think there's someone that I friended and then just sent our link to and was like, listen
them.
To us. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So I also wanted to mention on the last podcast, I was shamelessly pimping my email address to
oh, yeah.
all that were listening because I was pretty pleased with my email signature. And I got an email from someone named Michelle B. who was curious about my email signature and therefore emailed me, and I got to email her back, and it was darling. And you know, I had a little self-awareness moment when I did that because I was like, why is it that I think this is so cute? Because really all it is my, well, you actually email me to find out. Just go to Marissa. Well, actually just go to fearlessfacilitation.net and
ooh.
Click the link to email me. My point about all that is in my signature, I use this bright fuchsia color, which
yeah.
I have loved that color my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, your lipstick's always that color, your purse is that, all of your purses
my
have that color on
everything.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
my signature color. And I had not been willing to like embrace that in branding
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to, I don't know what I didn't want to be too feminine or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't really like
not serious
consciously
enough.
Thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have gone for it and people react so strongly to it. They love it.
That's awesome.
So anyway, I was pleased with that.
I use fuchsia every time I addend a progress note at work.
Yes. Oh, good.
Yes. It's my addendum color.
Dr. Fuchsia.
That's right. Dr.
Just
Fuchsia.
Just call me Dr.
Now.
Fuchsia.
Because people have to see that shit.
Yeah, they do.
Speaking of
you
doctors.
You can't ignore fuchsia.
Can't ignore addendums either.
That's true.
Fuck
and
no.
Dr. Sandy, there is a lot of good murder podcasting and
right?
Audible action out there. And I just wanted to give a little update. I have now listened to West Cork, which is an Audible podcast or Audible series is what they call it. It's free on Audible. And it's basically about this unsolved murder of a woman who died. She's from France and she died on the far western coast of Ireland mm-hmm. very mysteriously in a super brutal
true
murder.
Story? It's a true story?
True story.
Oh, shit.
And it is so good. I don't know what happened. Like, in the end, I just love it when you really can't figure it out. And you're like, oh, shit. Is he still out there?
Because it's heebie-jeebies, no way.
That is an excellent one. If anybody out there likes to get freaked out, go to Audible, check that out. And then another one that I'm in the middle of right now is Atlanta Monster.
Oh, are you liking Atlanta Monster?
I really am. It took a turn, and I'm like, wow, this is a trip. Because now they're talking to the guy in jail, and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, holy shit.
Yeah, what episode are you
He's
on?
He's a weirdo. So now I was starting to think, like, maybe not. Now I'm like, maybe so. I don't
okay,
know.
Two questions. I think you already answered one. But one is, what episode are you on?
Oh, you know. I think episode 5.
Okay. And
not
two,
that far into it.
If you had to, like, you were going to
die if you don't answer this question to the fullest extent of your honest ability. Did he do it or did he not do it?
I think he did it.
You think he's the Atlanta child murderer?
Oh,
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
It does. It is a total mind fuck.
It's a mind fuck
for me.
I've flip-flopped back and forth between he did it, he didn't do it probably five times already. Yeah, he's totally out of his mind.
I have a strong intuition, though, that he's out of his mind and that he didn't do it, but he's just such a busybody that he couldn't keep in... Like, he couldn't keep his business to himself, and so he had to be on that bridge because he was following the police scanners, and then madness ensued.
I think you need to listen to West Cork because the personality type is the same.
Yeah.
And the situation.
Busybody.
And it's like, is it an unsolved murder because this guy got himself involved and he's really just a nosy know-it-all, and or... Is that part of the personality
of a serial killer?
Damn,
serial
dog, killer. Making a good case for not being a busybody. I'm trying to stay out of everybody's business. That shit is not my business. Busybodies get done for murder. No,
FBI,
thank you.
Leave
no,
me
thank
alone.
You.
Yes. Thank you very much. And if you did get done for murder, I was just at the club the other day, and they had like a free box basically out on this table, and I had just been thinking
in the club.
I know when you said the club, I was thinking like dancing club. It took me a minute to remember like these days what kind of club we're talking about.
And if you know what we're talking about, you're part of the club. So I went in and I had just been thinking, because I'm listening to these murder podcasts, like, damn, dog, I wish I had a murder mystery to read, because I've got like some existentialist shit. I was reading Nietzsche and now I'm reading. Anyway, too boring. I needed a murder mystery. So I walk in and there's murder mysteries, including a Stephen King murder mystery on the table and some free tarot cards.
Damn.
Oh.
So I took both, and actually I was hoping to remember to bring the tarot cards to pull some tarot cards on the air tonight, but I think we'll have to do it a different time.
Oh, man.
Murder and tarot. Murder. That just got my dick hard. Thank you, Marissa.
You're welcome.
Like
I do what I can, and that's all my shout outs.
Right. I have one other one. We have to shout out our friend Kate Bagoy, who runs Six Figure Freelancers. That's SIXFIGUREFREELANCERS. Okay, sixfigurefreelancers.com. She is currently running a huge special, tremendous promotion in honor of her sixth year of sobriety. To celebrate her sobriety is 324. So she'll be running that promotion through that day. And she is an incredible business coach for creatives. She has a tremendous amount of work that she has done freelancing. She knows how to move from a day job into freelancing, or from a day job into your own business and skip the freelancing step, all that stuff. She's incredible. And
how to level up, how to pick up your bags and hit the road. Yeah, she also has all kinds of great content. She has generated so much information. She's a great resource. Mm-hmm. Check out her website. She's got stuff available on there. You don't have to take our word for it. Like, you can read all about it.
Sixfigurefreelancers.com. And then finally, I got to pimp my own stuff, which is that I launched an ebook this week. It is called Relationship Ready Dating Prep 101.
What do you love?
Love.
Is this a love crowd?
Love. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is the kind of shit that you want to read if you are getting ready to be in a relationship. If you're done
or
fucking
around.
Or
if you're
around,
you are not ready to be in a relationship until you read this book.
Oh,
let
that's
me just
probably
tell you
more
that.
Accurate.
You also need to read it if it's spring is here, if you're ready to put that profile up on the Tinder, up
I'm
on
saying.
The Bumble, up on the Match, mm-hmm. before you put that profile up, please read. Relationship Ready.
Read. Amen. That's and book. Call Heidi, too. Don't just read it and then not do anything about it and not get any help with it, because it's
real.
Not as easy as it looks.
I know.
Do it right this time. Come on.
Oh, God. Are you done fucking around yet?
When you're ready for a relationship, you need to read this book before
if
you do
not,
it.
If not, why don't you just tune into Bad at Love or this Dude I Fucked or whatever. Check that out. You are definitely listening to the wrong podcast if you don't want to succeed yourself in a relationship.
So that ebook is launched. It is actually a workbook. It's a guide. There's some stuff to do. It is on my website, HeidiBCoaching.com, and it is for sale for $14.99. I have currently sold 10 units.
One
to myself, so.
But it's a nice round number. Let's
go with it. Check out the commerce portal, see if it worked. So anyway. And then I have one other thing that was not on my... I feel like every time I move us to a new topic, I say, oh, I have one other thing. This is another thing that I have. This week, the auditions for Big Brother were in Portland.
Sandy was in Seattle. Oh no.
Well, actually, they were here. They were on Thursday, which we are podcasting a little bit later than normal. Normally, we record our podcast on Wednesday, and I had on my phone that on Wednesday night, we were going to have to pump Sandy up and, like, get her ready to go, because she did not work on Thursday. So I was like, we need to, like, give her the whole shebang to, like, you need to go. But then we didn't podcast on Wednesday, and I forgot about it. I'm sorry that I forgot to cheerlead you on to Big Brother.
It's okay, because I forgot, too, so that tells you how committed and engaged I am in the audition process. No, I don't think that I would be a good candidate for Big Brother, my current emotional state.
I'd be like, well, you know, I'm trying to sell my house, and
Sandy would go out there with, like, real grown people tools of how to handle conflict.
My current doctoral practice isn't what I had imagined when I was back in med school.
Well, just so we're all honest, it was pharmacy school.
You're still a doctor.
Not trying to play.
I'll defend that shit.
Okay, I just have to call out one thing, because I noticed we sat down here and we started talking and we started waving our hands around, and I couldn't help but notice a big fat rock.
Oh, Marissa's got a big rock on.
Marissa's left ring finger. WTF.
This is an heirloom ring, so everybody in Mike's family was born in March. And this was his grandmother's ring. And it's a giant, beautiful aquamarine on platinum with diamonds that his mom, that I inherited, that his mom gave to him. I had it, and then I had another ring, my engagement ring that Mike proposed to me with. And it sustained some damage while I was working the construction. Oh. And
thank God you weren't wearing that one.
Yeah. And so I stopped wearing it. And then I started wearing this.
That's boss. That's boss lady.
Yeah, that ring looks like this ring's gonna fucking get millionaire.
This ring is going to get me a job. That's my theory on this ring. People do look at me like, you are a successful ass bitch with that ring.
It's real pretty.
Thank you. Beautiful. I'll put a picture of it on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You should definitely do that.
Thank you, and thanks for noticing. Thank you to the Cades. Thank you. So Mike's grandparents were really special to him, and his mom, Julie, knows that. And so it's just really special that I get to wear it.
Yeah.
In honor of his grandma. So his grandpa had diabetes, and Mike has diabetes as well. And his grandmother, she liked to drink. She was a little too friendly with the sauce, and she needed to stop. And he needed to stop because he was diabetic and because she was too friendly with the sauce. Mm-hmm. They, like, did it together, and they never drank again together. And Mike has diabetes, and he doesn't drink because of his diabetes, and I don't drink because I had a little too much fun with the sauce.
Oh, that's so cute. That is sweet.
Yeah, so... They're our love idols. They were together forever.
Well, we're going to get into Sandy and Joey's love story tonight.
Yes, we are.
Why am I nervous about this?
I don't know, but I have one other thing to delay it. I have one more thing to talk about.
Please do.
Oh, just one?
Just one.
Let's keep it moving.
Just another thing.
Let's just fill up the time.
Before we talk about Sandy and Joey's very committed and loving relationship, our listeners need to know our thoughts on open relationships.
Oh, I want to have this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Old white lady in the corner has some thoughts.
Yeah. Other old white lady in the corner has more thoughts.
Old heterosexual monogamous white lady in the corner.
We're getting making it sound so exciting to be a heterosexual monogamous.
We're getting our cisgender on over here pretty hard. You know, one time I heard, one of the representatives in the house, his name's Rob Nose. He's an amazing guy. He is an open gay man in a loving and committed relationship. And he said cisgender about something on the house floor, and me and my boss at the time had, like, a joke about how annoying that word was, and so she goes, "How dare you sit down," when he said that, and she's like, "We hate that stupid word."
Anyway. I think it's really clever, actually.
You do?
I appreciate it.
I just don't like the way it sounds. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with anything other than the way that it sounds. I think it sounds tedious.
Yeah, I just love... You know, I'm a chemist.
Oh.
At the end of the day, right? So cis and trans is like, I was like, thank you. Shout out to the nerds. I appreciate it.
Oh, good. Because I didn't even know that related.
It's nerd driven.
Oh, good. Well, now I like it. Cool.
I'll bring my little molecule set and we can play with cis and trans on our next podcast.
Hey-o. Nerd it up.
Okay. I can tell you a little, a couple of entertaining stories about the old open relationship trope.
Okay. I want to hear.
So first of all, when I was online dating, I didn't go out with anybody who had any hint that there was any openness to any of their ideas about a relationship, because I personally was not interested in that.
Wait, is this post-divorce?
Yes.
Post-divorce.
Yeah. Online dating.
Yeah.
Having done work mm-hmm. for and not dated for a year mm-hmm. or for 10 months. Mm-hmm. And then
10 months, 12 months, what's the difference? Yeah.
Well, 2 months. But anyway.
Okay, nerd alert.
So I did. Lonely months.
So
I'm just kidding, it's not lonely.
I basically was just really distraught by how much of that bullshit there was when here I was finally, you know, ready, willing, and able to have a committed and an intimate relationship where I wanted to move to the next level, and like that's what I was looking for, you know, and that was not what a lot of people were looking for, and they were very clear about it, and I was like, God. And most of them, this is not a funny and entertaining story, this is boring, I realize, but it also had a lot of drinking. There was a lot, those same profiles would be like full of like, let's go to this bar, and like pictures at the bar, and lots of like going out, and I don't know, it just kind of, I didn't like it. Then Mike had a friend who used to have these like open relationship, like poly brunches.
I'm not laughing.
And these were folks who had kids and everything. And then sometimes it would like, they would be kind of making plans about lover swapping and shit while there's kids there. And then they're having brunch as families and stuff. And there was a lot of like, you know, one half of the partner relationship was like, really just kind of desperate to keep their relationship. And so went along with the open relationship, even though that's not what they wanted.
Yeah.
And we're basically getting the shit beat out of them in this situation.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sounded terrible. And me and Mike, but, oh, we're so bad. We would joke about, like, poly brunches. And
did you
we
tease
would,
when them? We would, did you tease the polys?
Oh, yeah, we did. And when we would go out to brunch and see, like, a big mixed bag of all the different expressions of gender, we'd be like, oh, poly brunch. Yeah. It was not my cup of tea.
I have recently learned a few things about open relationships and poly relationships thanks to, I think it's TLC. Sister Wife.
Okay. Oh, TLC. I thought you were talking about, I don't want no scrubs. I definitely thought we were talking about TLC the band. I was not aware.
I did learn a lot from TLC the band. I know, but that was mostly about like using protection.
I basically learned everything I know about sex from TLC the band.
Yeah, I did. I learned probably more. But so I just say that because we are all heterosexual females in monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
So this totally is going to tend to come off potentially offensive because we all kind of have the same experience.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, it is my experience.
Yeah, it is your experience, and that's why I think it's valid. I agree with you, but I think that it's the same thing about friends with benefits.
Yeah.
It is the same thing.
Totally.
It could work on the occasional basis with the occasional very enlightened people, meaning emotionally intelligent, done the work. It may work. But 9 out of 10 times, I mean, probably 9.9 out of 10 times, somebody's in pain.
Yeah.
And 9.9 out of 10 times, it's just not going to work. Because if we don't even have the tools to go out there and, like, date.
Right.
How are we going to have the tools to handle a relationship with multiple partners?
And actually, that brings up a very good point, right? Which is, how many relationships, maybe 9 out of 10 relationships, are not actually living in the full expression of themselves, either partner,
anyway,
or at least
right.
one partner is not living in their full expression. And so that is just symptomatic of any, you know, in our culture where we don't nurture and support the growth of intimate relationships, everybody's suffering, man.
Yeah. And I think that it was probably more the realistic approach to open relationships is actually what I've heard of described as monogamish, which is a monogamous, and this is not just for heterosexual partners. You know, I've seen across the board, and what it is we're committed, we are monogamous, but we understand that in the course of our lifetime relationship, that time may come when one of us cheats. And it still hurts, and we recognize it still hurts, and it still sucks, and we still recognize that this is not an ideal activity that we're engaging in, but we're promised to be honest with each other and try to work through it. And so maybe in the course of these lifetime, long-term, 20, 30-year relationships, it's happened once or twice. And that's the way I've heard it described, in a really realistic way, because what they're doing is they're honoring the feelings of everybody there. Because my experience in my 41 years, and I don't know what it is, if it's biology, if it's my estrogen, but it would be my boyfriend's testosterone too, because it would break his heart if I was with somebody else. I've had my heart broken when somebody that I was intimate with was with somebody else, and it's a physical pain. So if we're meant to share ourselves openly with other people, then why do we feel physical pain when someone else does? And so I have a total disconnect with the idea of open relationships, like based on that intuitive knowledge that I have about myself.
Yeah, the feeling. I mean, I really feel like you can do whatever you want to do, right? But it has to be something that is true to yourself, right? So it's like, for me, an open relationship would never work. For me, I know it would not in my heart of hearts be what I want. And I would probably be doing it because I wanted, from some kind of external pressure, that right. I wanted to please someone, or I wanted to keep a relationship, or I wanted to whatever.
I want to be the cool girl. Right. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Oh my God, the cool girl is the bane of my existence. She's... I would imagine that there are people out there for whom that is like consistent with their truth, that like they really can like love freely as many people as whatever, and like really can manage a bunch of, really can manage a bunch of relationships or manage to communicate to a bunch of people, you know? So it's like, I mean, for as extroverted as I am, and as much as I talk, I am not a great communicator. You know what I mean? I struggle with that sometimes. I can't imagine. I think this is what you were alluding to, Marissa. I can't imagine trying to communicate with like multiple partners on like an intimate and like real and truthful level all the time.
You know, that's how it's framed in polygamous communities, right? Where the man has like his harem, for lack of a better phrase, the sister wife colony or whatever.
But the sister wives just want the other sister wife because they need help with the kids and the dishes.
Right. And the man has this intense like obligation to God and country to like procreate, and to, because he's demonstrated that he has the ability to care for that amount of people, then that's like, it's just this weird spiritual belief structure whereby it's like an extension of the Christ husband and like the flock and the whole, so
but it has an economic aspect to it too,
yeah,
right?
The like whole thing is weird, and it's very like, so I don't, it just,
it's
seems
different. It may not be weird necessarily, it's just different.
It's very different.
It's not in alignment with our values.
No, I find it, I don't know why we can't just fucking say it's weird, man.
I want to keep our polygamous listeners. I want you guys, listen to us. We got you.
Well, we already, see, because we're going to come off like Mormon bashers, because last time we were like about the caffeine or whatever. Yeah, totally. But we don't, you know. It's nothing personal, yo.
My most embarrassing experience is that I was online dating, and some guy was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Do you, you know, let's go out and grab some drinks. I was like, oh, I don't drink. And he's like, oh, are you Mormon? And I said, no, I'm alcoholic. Don't you wish I said I was Mormon now? So
never wanted to hear Mormon so bad.
So badly. Had I been waiting for that. Anyway, that is an excellent discussion of that topic. Thank you, ladies, for sharing your thoughts on that.
So not for me, but good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Consensus. I hate that I do have a little bit of a holding out of like suspicion about it. Like that it doesn't really settle right. Like how it almost seems like then you, I guess maybe there's some just habitual old beliefs in there somewhere about zero-sum nature of love, like love divided, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe it's less, or it's love light or something. Mm-hmm. Like I just can't imagine having the kind of connection that I have with Mike, with multiple Mikes. Mm. Can't imagine.
No. Yeah, I think, guys. Well, I guess what I have to be honest and full in this conversation and say what I said to Heidi previously when we had talked about this, and it is that my belief from my experience is that probably most of the people who are tolerating an open relationship are not being honest with themselves or not being honest with their partner. Mm. And I think it's that whole thing about going back to relationship ready. A Guide to Dating 101 is getting,
That's like, you're getting the title right now.
I know. It's about finding love for yourself, finding your authentic self, so that then when you walk into a relationship, if something doesn't feel right, I don't have to be the cool girl.
Right.
I don't have to go along just to keep this guy for a while and hopefully he'll change his mind.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, actually, that is definitely something that I'm coming back to that I hadn't realized I was thinking about the whole time, which is you don't see it with people who are sober very often. I haven't met anybody who's sober in an open relationship personally. It seems like if you were really being honest with yourself, as in not using anything to alter your mind and experience and being fully present with yourself in these decisions, maybe that has something to do with it too.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I definitely know some guys that are sober that are trying to be in open relationships secretly. I feel like that's rampant in our fellowship, but hi, guys.
Okay, anything else we need to cover before we turn it over to Sandals? Oh, I have one more thing.
Oh, good.
One more thing from Heidi B.
Oh, good.
You don't need to do whatever you don't want to do, but just so you guys know, Society 6 is still selling all gold everything items. Sandy and Marissa and I each have a big 80 cents burning a hole in our pockets. Yeah. Each of us have 80 cents because Caitlin went out and bought the all gold everything pouch and an all gold everything sticker costing, I don't know what it cost her, but we earned $2.40 divided by 3 equals 80 cents a person. So woo-woo, gets paid to
big
us
money
at the end of the month.
At the end of the month.
Are we going to get a
spread
check?
That shit out.
Well, it will come actually to, it will come to my,
Heidi's getting a check
and I will distribute.
You should buy a Powerball ticket in the name of All Gold Pod. We should do that.
We should
with
do that.
$2.
And the other thing is we are still always happy to hear what our listeners want us, suggestions for topics, what you guys want to hear us talk about. So you can get at us on Instagram, on any of our personal handles, Marissa Annette, The Real Sandy J, Heidi B52, or at our podcast handle, All Gold Pod. Or you can email us, goldengirls@allgoldpod.com. And that is that. So without any further delay, we're moving into the second part of our series about love and relationships and how we all ended up kind of like where we got to where we're at, how we got to where we're at today. And last week I shared the story of Jeff and I getting together. I will say that when I went home this week, he was like, that's not exactly the way that it all happened. So I do love the idea of the men of All Gold Everything getting either their own spinoff podcast or maybe an episode of them to come in and maybe share their sides of the story once all three of us have shared our side. So maybe we'll each get an episode to share our stories and then they can come in and on one episode they can edit any, make any corrections, provide any edits. So
I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think that we need to do that.
These girls are on camera. We're live on Instagram right now. If you want to check us out in the studio. Joey says hello.
I've never been Instagram live before. That's dope.
I don't even know how to do that. Can you get Lady Gaga?
We can Told be you. Strong. We can be strong.
In the room.
Marissa, that was so smart.
So one thing that I just remembered I've been wanting to tell you guys.
Jeff J just joined. Sorry.
Hey.
Okay, we got to get out of here because I'm too into this.
This is super fun. I wish we could have it on the screen so I could see
them. That'd be cool.
I've been following Trinidad James on Instagram.
Oh, does he know about us? Have you messaged him our podcast yet?
So why I want to bring this up is because I want you guys to give me a little pep talk so I could send him our equivalent of an unsolicited dick pic so that he can listen. Because yes. I've been following, look at all those emojis.
Hi.
Emoji life, giving me life.
Giving
us life.
Flooded
with love.
So I need a little pep talk so I could send him a unsolicited dick pic
message,
DM, because I've been following his Instagram and it's actually really well curated.
I love it.
This guy's legit, yeah. And I'm a fan now. I'm officially a fan, and I've even heard some of his music through his Instagram, and it's not what I thought it was.
Okay,
really.
Do we need to like walk you through it right now? I mean, should we do this on the air? Should we do this on our podcast? Shall we walk you through it?
Only if it's entertaining.
I think it sounds hella entertaining.
Well, first of all, you need to go to the Apple Podcast app and click on the link and copy it. Do you have that?
I got that.
Now you need to DM him.
Uh-huh. I'm going to hit you up on the DMs, Trinidad James.
Oh, yeah. Do you think we call him Mr. James?
I think we should call him Mr. James.
I think that's probably like the most polite. Dear Mr. James. Sandy is currently, I thought we were still live, so I was going to narrate the present, which is something I'm really good at.
Okay, Mr. James.
My girlfriends and I have a podcast called All Gold Everything.
We're on the air right now.
Okay, keep going.
Discussing how to get in touch with you.
We know that you have a song called All Gold Everything.
That we love with some emojis.
That was loud. Sorry. I didn't mean to have that reaction. We think your Instagram is perfectly curated. And we're hoping that you can have, and we're hoping that you have time to have a listen to our podcast.
No.
What? Why not?
And we're hoping that you will have time.
Okay, sorry.
You got to listen to our podcast. We love you.
Okay, there we go. You got to listen to our podcast. We love you.
We talk about you all the time. We'd be happy to put up
We've talked about him on two episodes.
Okay. We talk about you on the reg. And we'd be happy to pimp your wares.
All right. And then you just put the, you just copy the link in there.
All right.
But you can't get too, the nice thing about Instagram DM is you actually can't get too wordy. They cut you off.
Okay.
Boom. All right. Did you do it? I actually sent a link to our podcast to Amy Poehler the other day, so.
Oh, perfect. It's done. It's gone. It's boom. It's off in the ether.
Oh, hey.
Okay. Thank you guys for that. James. It never would have happened.
Listening now to our podcast. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I'll start.
That's amazing.
Now that I've put this off as long as I can. I love you, Joey.
What's his handle?
I can't wait to talk about this.
Who? Trinidad James? What's his handle?
It's Trinidad James GG.
Oh, yeah.
So
Gucci Gang.
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's got to be.
I mean, does he, like, kick it with Gucci Mane?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Gucci Mane and Trinidad James seem like, they should come to my bachelorette party.
I just posted this ridiculous sideways picture of you guys, and I put live in the studio talking about Trinidad James.
Oh, nice.
Perfect, perfect. That'll go, that'll
and
compliment.
And you tagged him in it?
That'll compliment my DM quite well, thank you.
Social media mavens over here.
Thank you guys for walking through that with us.
You can hear my cold, like whistling in this microphone. It's so annoying.
I have to say, I think it might be you doing the heavy breathing tonight because I'm hearing a lot of heavy breathing and I'm like, but I'm not near my microphone. It's usually
me who does that.
And I'm going to have to lean back when
I'm
not
talking.
Pay attention
to our highlight reel.
All right, so I have this group text with Heidi B and Marissa J going on tonight, and we were just heading out the door to head to the studio, and it says, Marissa J says, hey, you guys want to get a bite after casting tonight? And Heidi B is like, I don't think I can. And I said, can't either. Just made promises of post-podcast sexual favors.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what it's like now. So
this is like a movie.
Done. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, where it starts at the end. Yeah. You get it, now we got to go and rewind back to the beginning.
Yeah. So I think that, like, for me,
I need to ask a clarifying question. Mm-hmm. Did you guys know each other when Sandy and Joey started dating? Were you guys like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I knew Marissa when I was single.
Mm.
I think I may have even known Marissa when I was.
You knew me when you were breaking up with, I think it was the last asshole.
Which one?
On the block. It's the last asshole I remember before Mr. Wonder.
The big bad breakup?
Yeah.
Yeah. The devastating breakup.
Oh, yeah. That
we had tacos. It was sad.
Oh, I don't even remember those tacos.
Good.
You were in a blackout. You were in a emotion blackout.
Did I look pretty?
You look super pretty. I was like, how can he be treating you this way? Look at you.
I remember going to a to the club on Valentine's Day.
Nice.
And it was, you know, probably about 10 days after that horrible breakup. And I was just like, well, what do I have to be sad about? I'm like wearing a lace crop top and overalls.
Yes.
I'm good. So telling I definitely it. Like try to use my appearance to soften blows for sure. It works temporarily, like many things work temporarily. Just temporarily. Well, yeah, because that's really what the story of me and Joey is. I mean, Joey and I are just starting our journey together, and all the story is everything that happened before Joey. Because I keep saying it. I say it probably on every episode. I am 41 years old, but I've been
40 wonderful.
Yeah, you're 40 wonderful, and you really don't look a day over 29.
But
so.
I've been on the planet a long time, and I did things differently, as many people do, but I didn't do things in the order that people often do things. So my, story goes back to being a teenager with child. So when I was 19, I was pregnant and had a baby. And
your baby was a beautiful baby, by the way. Her baby pictures are insanely cute.
She's a beautiful woman, but like she was a way cute baby.
She's super cute.
But because I was so young and because I was so poor and because I was just so
in the mode where I needed to survive. I spent all of my 20s just working and going to school, and dating wasn't even on the radar. And I like to say that because that's sort of my crutch, as I say, well, I was really busy. I was raising a kid and I was working and going to school, so I didn't date. But the truth that goes right alongside that, like, yeah, those were all really good reasons to keep me out of the dating pool. But it was also because I didn't feel worthy of love. Aww. I didn't feel like anybody wanted me, and I didn't, and I didn't know even how to like connect with people, mm-hmm. men, women, family, any of them. So that's why I didn't date in my 20s.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably the whole truth of why I didn't date in my 20s. And then I finished my professional program at 31 because I was an older than average student because I had my daughter young and went back to school a little bit later. And I graduated, started my profession in my early 30s. So basically during that time, as the kid was growing up and needing me less, and as I was now in a profession where I actually got paychecks for the first time in my life.
Stacks on stacks.
Yeah. I started experimenting with all the stuff I missed when I was in my 20s. And I mean, I have to say, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but my first and only real, well, actually, I don't want to blow off my first, I did have a teenager love, and he was actually a pretty good guy. And like a teenager brat, I treated him really, really terribly.
Yeah.
And I left him pretty sad and brokenhearted. And I ended up moving on to Kyla's father, which I won't go deeply into, but it was a very bad relationship. I'll just say that it resulted in a beautiful child, but it was very painful in many ways. So 20s, nothing. 30s, now I'm pouring alcohol down my throat and, you know, just all of a sudden.
Making up for lost time.
Making up for lost time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh, that's yeah. where this has been.
Yeah, yeah. And making mistakes in the romantic world. And so
under the influence of alcohol, that yeah. is shocking.
Yeah. Under the influence of alcohol, loneliness, and a big old hole in my chest.
Yeah. I mean, ooh. I probably made my best relationship decisions under those conditions.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, it certainly was a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do remember, because I remember all those times in my 20s, I remember I was really busy, but I remember laying in bed at night, like kind of fantasizing about like what it would look like if I found that perfect man.
Oh, yeah.
How he would treat me, what it would be like, how I'd be the only person in his world. And it was like a full on schoolgirl fantasy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even embarrassed to admit that for all of our 97 listeners.
They're the best 97.
They're the best 97 listeners.
Top notch, dude.
I gotta, yeah. 97 well, listeners, if you want to grow your ranks, you need to continue to share our podcast with other listeners.
Yeah, follow Sandy's advice, which she's going to give at the end of this podcast.
Okay, remind me, don't let me forget. Yeah, so mistakes, man. So I made all the mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
I did all those things fueled by this huge hole in my chest and this huge feeling of not being worthy. Yeah. And of course, I had no fucking idea.
What was a common repeated mistake that you liked making?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's really similar to Heidi's about being with being with an unavailable man, but mine is specifically emotionally unavailable man. So he'll show up, he'll take me out, he'll sleep with me, but he won't tell me he loves me.
Yeah.
He'll commit to me because he knows that I'll feel better if we're in a committed relationship, but he's not that excited about it.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Ouch. And the word love,
I hear that.
The word love only comes up after I've broken up with him once.
Yeah.
And then now he loves me.
Yeah.
Oh, don't go, baby. Dog. You look so good in your pajamas.
Mm-hmm. Singing my song.
Yeah. And that is.
Mine too.
But at the same time, I
went out with a guy named Paycheck who treated me like that. Can you believe it?
His name was Paycheck?
Fucking A Ride Dog.
Not mad at dating a man named Paycheck.
Hell no. I feel like,
imagine how he does his dating.
I feel like Trinidad James would approve of somebody named Paycheck.
I might actually rename Joey Paycheck. I'll be like, yeah, Paycheck baby.
You could like, yeah, roll,
I did say some dirty shit to that motherfucker. Too. You better believe.
You could like role play that tonight with Joey just to give it a try. Maybe yeah. quickly,
let us know.
Tonight?
Report back.
What can he call me?
The bank.
Yeah.
Can I put that paycheck in the bank?
Heidi, you said that when like you've done this before.
Your new hit single, "Put the Paycheck in the Bank," is hey, coming girl. Out soon.
I want to put the
Heidi
paycheck
will be
in your
singing backup vocals on that shit, and we would all like to be in the video.
In the bank, yeah.
Don't
let me write the song.
I will say, I had the experience of being involved with a man who I would be like, I love you, and he would be like, yeah, and I would be like, I just need you to say it back to me. And he would be like, I don't know why you need those three words. And I would be like, well, if they're not a big deal, why can't you just say them? And he'd be like, well, they're not a big deal, yeah. so I'm not going to say them. We just round and round about fucking I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Good shit. God damn.
I dated a guy who wasn't able to tell me he wanted to hang out with me. He would text me to prompt me to tell him, to ask him to hang out. Like, he'd be like, yeah, I'm free. I don't have much going on. I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah, I think I'm just going to sit here tonight.
Oh,
like,
my God. Okay.
And it's like,
a baby.
And
he's
I finally
a baby man.
Realized, like, he doesn't know how to ask me to come hang out or to go out, that he was actually every time prompting me to say, hey, do you want to hang out? That, my friends, is emotionally unavailable.
Not available.
Yeah. That's not available.
I don't know. I will say I am better today at knowing emotional. I'm not trying to bogart your story, but I am trying to add to it, which is that, like, today I'm.
Just one more thing.
Just
it's
one
not
more
my
thing.
Story. It's a discussion, it's a podcast.
Just one more thing, which is that today I am better at being able to tell when someone is, I'm not great at meeting someone or like talking to someone. I guess it doesn't matter because I'm in a relationship now, but it's like identifying an available person is a little more challenging than identifying someone who's not available. So it's like, I can see not available now yeah. from a thousand miles away, not available. So I guess that means on the flip side, if there are only two options, if you're not available. You're
well,
available.
No, because when I get into my second date with Joey, I will tell you how to identify somebody who's emotionally
right,
available.
Yeah.
They tell
Ooh,
you.
Yeah. They do.
That's true.
They tell you.
It's yeah. so true.
It's really not that hard.
Which is why it's funny that last week I was mentioning that Jeff wanted to ninja date me and my memory is that he called and was like kind of cagey about like, do you want to go out to dinner? And he was like, Heidi, I called you and said, I enjoy spending time with you. I want to spend more time with you. Would you go have dinner with me? You know, whatever. And
it's pretty direct.
Pretty straightforward. There's not much ninja-ing about that. So I got that one wrong in my recollection.
Bright magenta peak addendum.
yes.
Well, he didn't use the magic words, do you want to go on a date?
That's true. But he was pretty
straightforward.
Right. He was pretty straightforward, though.
In fairness, we all are part of the tribe where awkward coffee saves lives.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, right. I think what I was about to say is, in fairness, I was choosing these men for the wrong reasons, too. I just mm-hmm. wanted a guy who could give me a ride home from the bar because mm-hmm. I didn't want to get a DUI.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, like, one guy I dated for a really long time, like, that was what he meant to me.
Mm.
Like, if we broke up, it would really suck because I wouldn't have a ride home from the bar.
Yeah.
So, I think to, like, tell my full story, I have to speak, like, honestly about my sobriety, because when I did make a decision... in July of 2012 to stop drinking and stop drinking for good. It was a decision I made because I was ready for my life to be better in every aspect. Mm-hmm. But truthfully, romance was pretty low mm-hmm. on the radar because other aspects of my life were suffering pretty greatly because I like to drink too much. So I did that. I made that change and I decided to get into a relationship.
Oh, fun. Because now you're ready. You don't drink
right.
anymore.
And I thought, yeah. exactly. Like, I remember I told myself with one guy back when I was drinking, he had hurt me and I had a bunch of his stuff, like camping gear and shit. And I was sober because I was at work that day. I was at work that day and I stopped drinking at about 3 a.m. the night before. And now I'm at work, so I'm sober. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision to donate all of his camping gear to the Union Rescue Mission. And I told myself that was probably a pretty good decision because I'm sober right now and I'm making it. And so I did. And when I was telling, you know, the person, they said, oh, we'll mail you a receipt
for your taxes. I said, all right, mail it to this address. And I gave him the gentleman's address.
Oh, to vicious. Mail the receipt. But, savage.
But it was a really good decision because yeah. I was sober yeah. when I made it.
Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah.
Really sound.
Yeah. So,
I mean, in fairness, I mean, this is just friend Heidi talking. I kind of like it, frankly. It's savage. It's ice cold. I dig.
I but, pretty much I mean, love it.
Yeah. And I know you do too, actually.
I'm like trying to remember. Didn't I do that? I don't know. I can't even remember.
I'm like, damn, I hate camping so much. I would just lit that shit on fire. But yes, that's not the kind of, anyway, your point is that that's not the kind of woman you are today. Those aren't the kind of decisions that you would be making today.
Yeah, but when I was like probably sober for, I don't know what it was, somewhere less than a year, I thought, okay, I'm sober. I'm really attracted to this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I can do this now.
And you got a lot of free time when you're newly sober.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, damn.
Well, I didn't. I still had a job and a kid. I did not have time to be given to this guy. So that was another mistake I made. But anyhow, I did. And it ended in the greatest pain of my life from a relationship standpoint. Yeah. It's not actually the greatest pain of my life, but it's up there. And it was so painful. I didn't know how I was going to do the next day. And I'm really lucky I had women to call to help me tell me how to do the next day. And they also helped me to start some work around this pain and the causes and conditions that led me to be in so much pain.
Yeah.
And we used a 12-step approach to do this. And so I worked 12 steps around this relationship, and it was revolutionary for me. I came out from it changed, and the take-home points were my whole life I've been suffering from abandonment, and my whole life I've felt that I was unworthy of love. And so what my work to do had nothing to do with dating any fucking buddy. what my work to do was to come to a place where I love little two-year-old Sandy, where I love little six-year-old Sandy, yeah. where I love little eight and little 12-year-old. And oh my God, you guys, that fucking 16-year-old Sandy.
I kind of want to get in a time machine and meet 16-year-old Sandy.
Yeah. I think 16-year-old Sandy and 16-year-old Marissa would have been fucking party buds.
We would have hurt people.
For sure. Big time trouble.
You guys might have scared me off. I don't know. I might not have been cool enough to hang out with you.
You might have been a little Midwest for that.
Yeah.
We were hardcore Cali.
Yeah, so that's...
We were living in the valley trying to be coastal.
I'd be like, excuse me, shouldn't we tell our parents where we're going now? You guys, it's a little late. I'm not sure about
I'm
this.
Going to rugby. I didn't tell them I was drinking booze out of a boot.
That's true. So you learned to love yourself of all ages.
Yeah, so I kind of started on this kind of like... it was more of like, this is what brought the awareness. Like now I have an awareness that I'm, you know, a bit of a broken toy, and, my dating is my pain that I had in that relationship was really, because of all of my old causes and conditions and why I chose to be in a relationship and chose to fall in love with somebody who is emotionally unavailable, who I knew from the beginning was.
Yeah.
And I just thought that this was how it is because he was a lot like my dad and maybe I can change his mind.
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling? I used to get this feeling like, oh, maybe it's something that's supposed to develop, right?
Yeah.
Like it's going to develop.
Oh, you know what I did a lot was, well, so-and-so's in a relationship like this and so-and-so I've seen doing this, even though I know that so-and-so is not happy in a relationship like this. And so-and-so ended up divorced after doing this. But I still allowed that to be my rationalization for maintaining. And I have fear of abandonment. So I didn't know what it would look like if I didn't have this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was afraid.
I love that you mention the idea of like, oh, this will change. I'll change this. I actually did put a little section in my ebook about this because I am notorious for this. I have had this experience as well where it's like, well, I had never dated anyone that was like really effusively affectionate or like displayed that a lot, and which I guess when I think about it is strange to me because I'm like such an extrovert and so open. But I had always been attracted to very shy guys, and there was something about that. Really, it was that they were emotionally unavailable. It wasn't really necessarily that they were shy. Now that I'm involved with Jeff, who is emotionally unavailable, he is emotionally available, but he is also an introvert, and there is a difference between being shy or being an introvert and being emotionally unavailable. So it's like incredible to be with someone who's a bit of an introvert but is actually available.
I have the same experience too.
Yeah, but I always thought like, oh, I'm such an extrovert. I can change this guy. I was gonna make that guy say the three words, and he was gonna mean the words, you know. But that's someone that's not ready. They're not emotionally available. I hear you on that.
And so I know a specific time early on where I can't remember the words he said, but it was something along the lines with, I'm not ready to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when somebody says that to you, listen.
Listen.
Hear them. I don't know if I'm capable of love. Mm-hmm. If somebody says that to you, listen. So
honor them too. I mean, it just reminds me because I didn't heed those kind of remarks myself. And it was so disrespectful to that person, mm-hmm. too. Right. You know, like, how much pain are you in where you are going to admit that? First of all, what a painful thing to admit.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I would take it as like, you're just scapegoating. You're just saying that. It's just something about me, mm-hmm. or you're mad at me. Like, this is like some demonstration of willpower. This is not you speaking honestly. Yeah. I couldn't accept it.
Yeah. Well, the flip side of that too is, I mean, to be fair, what these men do, what happened in my instance and what I've seen happen to other women is, so they'll say these things and we will still move forward because we don't want to believe it, but they'll do little things that'll feed our stories that we're telling ourselves.
Yeah.
Like when in a pinch they will say, I love you. They'll hold you in a certain way, or he'll hold me in a certain way that feels, you know, more tender right now. Mm-hmm. And so I take these little nuggets.
Those moments where you're noticing things and you ask and they say, no, nothing's wrong. Yes, I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So to be fair, there's a little dishonesty on their side too. Yeah. So yes, we need to listen and we need to honor them. But the other person also has a responsibility to be honest as well.
Absolutely.
Because I hear you talking about like the breadcrumb thing where it's like, well, I'll give you a little bit to mm-hmm. keep stringing you along. And that would string me along forever.
It's all it takes.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was married for 10 years on that shit. I was fucking Hansel and Gretel in the forest with the crumbs and the witch and
you had your little apron up. You're just collecting those breadcrumbs.
Oh, I'm so lucky that I get these breadcrumbs. How hungry would I be without them?
No more, ladies. We feast every night, though.
Oh,
right?
Hell yeah. I fucking 24-hour buffet up in this shit.
Feast every night. Put my paycheck in the bank.
Oh, yeah.
She gripped the mic with both hands and rocked.
Solid
side to side.
Gold. That was this love is gold.
That was good. Yeah. So I think so. Moving forward. So we're not here all night. That gave me some awareness as to my part, what I did, and what to never do again. Mm-hmm. But that didn't make it like boom, I've got this. Keep it moving, because then I jumped into a beautiful summer of dating. I mean,
was a great summer of love. Was a great summer.
Oh, it was summer of love. It was my summer of love too. But it was me and a kid.
Yeah.
And a divorce. The divorce was my summer of love.
It was. Divorce was my summer of love too.
Totally.
I remember. So I remember it was so good. Cut off shorts, tan skin and tank tops. Oh, it was so good.
You were basically like a music, you were almost like a Katy Perry music video over here with like little shorts, bebopping around.
True.
Yeah.
Inspirational.
So if you want to go out with me and you're cute and I like you, take me out. This is fun.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just, and it really was. And I met a lot of unavailable men. Mm-hmm. I did. And cute unavailable men, fun unavailable men, really interesting unavailable men. And it, it was super fun, but they all ended in disappointment. But they ended in disappointment quickly because I noticed and I decided to keep it moving.
Yes.
So now I can say, oh, that guy was really fun and interesting. That guy was a famous athlete. That guy was that. That guy was that. And it was like, so I have these like fine memories about all of them, even though they all ended in disappointment. It was totally okay. So cut to...
I will say one thing about that. I love... Just one thing.
You can say more. You can say as many things as you want.
Just one thing.
We're adding them up. This is number 7.
I love that you mentioned this part of your story because I think it's so important that, you know, just because we can see unavailability now doesn't mean that we're immune to it, right? So it's like, you know, you can like do some work on this and then go out and start dating, and then like you could even like get involved with someone and be like, oh shit, they're unavailable. Like, but I don't take, I don't, today I can walk away from that, mm-hmm. instead of like clinging to it until I'm so desperate I want to die.
Yeah. You know? And sometimes it was 2 dates. Sometimes it was 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst was 4 months. I mean, the last guy I dated before I took my big break was because he totally tricked me.
I can't remember who that is. I'm trying to think about it in my brain. It's okay. Too. You don't have to say, but.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Big guy. Mr. Big Stuff.
Yeah. That guy pulled one over.
Who do
on
you
me.
Think you are?
Mr. Big Stuff.
You're never gonna get my love.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I spent too much time with him. He fully tricked me, and it shook me. And I was like, what the fuck? And that's when I really, like, okay, I know what unavailable looks like. I know what to walk away from. I walked away from him short of dumping hot tea all over his head at Townsend's Tea.
I do remember that.
The only reason I didn't was because I'm trying to practice these principles in all of my affairs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really trying to, like, live my life by a spiritual set of principles, and I think one of them, even though it isn't explicitly nonviolence, I think violence is bad.
Yeah, definitely not involving pouring hot scalding tea on someone's head.
Who certainly deserved it.
He deserved it, but
clearly.
But I didn't. And you know, in retrospect, I do wish I did, because it would have been baller, you know. And that's why now I tell
and that's
Joey
the kind
that
of message
if,
some people need to yeah, in order to true. Hear or to read the tea leaves.
And you really would have been channeling the housewives. I mean, we are not in a situation where we can, like, throw a wine in someone's face.
That's
but
true.
Hot tea
That's
is
true.
Kind of what we get.
Yeah, damn, that is your spiritual animal, savage. So that would have been authentic, too.
Yeah, but I wasn't watching Housewives back then, and it was really, really, like, I stood up, I looked down at the teapot, I looked up at him, I went through it in my head, like, this is what I want to do, and then I just walked away.
Beautiful. Props.
It was so close.
Props.
I almost regret it. Anyway, so I took a break for a
while. Oh, yeah, we would have been big trouble at 16, because I was a throw-something kind of girl.
We could tell stories after the podcast. I've got some good 16-year-old stories. But so I then was like, Sandy, it is Sandy time. Like, it's Sandy time.
Date yourself.
And at the same time, I kind of got inspired by reading a Rumi quote that I just try to remember to this day when I'm feeling down and disconnected. And it set your life on fire, but it means it in a good way. seek those who fan your flame. And so I decided to connect with some runners. And that's when I kind of, I just really committed trying to really be present for my daughter, trying to be really present for my recovery, and trying to be really present for the only thing that has ever been there for me through thick and thin, which is, you know, my legs and my lungs and the trails. And I just, ended up on this crazy journey of starting to run ultra marathons. And
And it was like, it was almost a
so
little
that's
bit.
That's what dating Sandy is like, folks. Ultra marathon.
It was a little bit like Forrest Gumpy, and almost like, I started running. I mean, you just started running. You just fucking ran forever.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't my intention to do what I did. Like, I was just like, I want to connect with some people who want to run in Forest Park with me.
Yeah.
And I ended up signing up for a 40 miler. But the thing is, it's not about any of that. What it's about was finally coming to this place where I was able to shock myself and prove my value and my worth to myself.
Yeah.
So that's what it took for me to prove that I'm valuable and worthy was that. And I think that it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But
well, it's so interesting, right? Because as we've talked about a number of times, you went to pharmacy school and you have a professional degree and you work in a professional environment. And, you know, for me, some of that education stuff and all the career striving and everything that I did was also another manifestation of me trying to demonstrate externally my worth to the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this was
and
all
it
for
doesn't
me.
Work.
There was nothing, there
right,
was no
exactly.
external motivation here. This was, and I didn't even know, I mean, I wasn't.
No, because you're alone
even,
with yourself on the run, man.
Yeah.
It's just you and your footsteps.
Yeah, and so it was having that time to be quiet. It was having that time to receive. It was having that time to get clarity. And it was just having that time to really get to know myself, really get to love myself, and then blow my wig back with what this body was able to accomplish. And then I had this really weird thing I like to call confidence all of a sudden.
Oh, damn. Baddest bitch in the room
just arrived. And it's not because I have this little pair of socks that says I ran 40 miles or this little medal that says I ran 50 miles. It's because it finally all came together that I never knew who I was, and I never knew what I was capable of. And I'm, if I can do this, I can do anything.
I got goosebumps.
So I just loved it. I had fun. And I got to this understanding of my singleness that my life is big and full and rad. And
powerful.
Sometimes at night I get lonely. And loneliness is a feeling I can acknowledge and not judge and get out my vibrator and bye.
And voila.
And bye.
And the night.
Bye.
Sorry,
not sorry.
Truthfully, like taking the power out of loneliness was also another a big transformative step for me.
Yeah.
So I always had this struggle with what is the will of the universe for me and God's will, if you will. I just say God because it's kind of generic, but the power greater than me, what is the will? And I would never turn over the romance section because I was afraid that would result in, well, it's for you to be alone forever. You're supposed to be a nun. And I couldn't accept that.
Although but you did tell me at one stage that you wanted to be a nun right before you started dating Joey.
Right.
You were like, I'm going to do it. I'm getting myself prepared to really be but you were like, so not in an ironic way, not in a like, you were like, you had a full acceptance around this nun idea.
Well, so that's what this sort of transformative period of my life did for me was my life is really big and full currently right now as it is. I get lonely sometimes, but the power has been removed from that. So if it is the will of the universe for me to be alone, that's really okay. Like, it's really, really okay. And it's really could be really exciting too because of the things I could do and the ways I could be of service. Mm-hmm. And I was really legitimately there. And then spring came. And it's like, spring is in the air.
Spring is in the air.
I got my little short shorts on and my tank top and I was tan and I just wanted to date. Like, I got this bug and I just wanted to date. But I was like, I had done it, you know. The previous summer, I had been through it, and I was like, I really want to try something new. And so I decided to go online dating, but I'd never, like, legitimately done it before. I wanted to, like, I didn't want to be in the mix of the mess. And what I really wanted to do, it was like when I go onto a website to look for shoes, I blow through all the shoes until I find like the shoes that like I really want. And it's not like the sexiest red pair of shoes that just pops out at me. Mm-hmm. It's the one that like
they really want.
They look nice. I really want them. And they speak
to me.
They're
stylish. They're going to fit with multiple outfits.
I can
they're
see
be
them.
Great for travel.
No, they're not too practical.
Oh.
Although I did pick a real practical pair of shoes. But really like the one that looked good on me. So I went on and I made my profile and it was like, I don't even remember what it said, but it was full on, fuck you, this is me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even care. I didn't think about what other people would read this as. I just filled it out like, this is me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care because I'm not going to read any messages people send me. I'm going shopping for shoes.
Yeah. I mean, I do like this. We talked about this last week too. I mean, you have to be ruthless.
Yeah.
Online dating requires just a sheer amount of savagery.
It's so true.
With compassion. I mean, you don't have to like be fucking mean to people, but you just have to be like pass. Yes. Pass. You know what I mean? Like,
It's pretty savage because I was just ignoring messages. And I remember one guy sent a message like, it was like, fuck you, bitch. I've reached out to you through. It was so brutal and mean because I was not.
Bye.
So it can get savage, but it's just ignore those. But anyway, so I picked three and one of them was actually quite terrible. I showed up to the restaurant and he was like already eating and he didn't offer to buy me food.
What?
Yeah.
Bad manners.
And then I left my sunglasses. In that booth and I never got them back. So that fucking date cost me.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Not only did you not get anything, it cost you your fucking sunglasses.
And you know something I never told anybody? When I was there at that restaurant, I ran into a guy I had previously dated, this radiologist I had previously dated the summer before, and he was in another booth and he was like sizing us up the whole time. It was just the worst, most awkward ever experience. And then the other guy was super interesting, but there was just nothing there, right? So there's this third guy, and there's a picture of this cute guy, and he's with this really cute boy in a graduation outfit. And I was like, Well, at least we'll have something to talk about. Because
oh my God,
Kylo was graduating that year. So I reached out to him. He didn't like me. He didn't send me a message, nothing. I reached out to him and I was like, you know, I told him, I was like, my kid just graduated too. And, you know, I think I actually literally said, at least we'll have something to talk about.
I know you did. I remember you saying that. I love that. That's like the dark cloud Sandy plus I don't give a fuck Sandy is like,
it's
wow.
ideal. Yeah. I mean, it's something worth considering when you're dating people out there. Just yeah. think about that, would you?
Yes.
Look for the props and the pictures. They could help you.
Yeah, and we were in the same neighborhood. I could tell by the high school he was graduating from. So I was like, all right, this is good. So we had a date a certain night, and I worked that day, and I was really tired, and I almost canceled. And I was like, well, this place is really close to work, and I've got my change of clothes here, so fuck it, I'll just go. Maybe this guy might be, you know, decent. Interesting. Yeah.
Just decent.
Yeah. I was like, well,
maybe
actually,
he won't steal my fucking sunglasses and right. eat without me.
No, truthfully, it's maybe, it was like, well, maybe he will yeah. be the one.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so I go and I walk in and I walk into the restroom and the restroom. We met in the restroom to fuck.
That is a
and there
bold,
went all my work.
I was gonna say that is a bold opening move, but I'm sure there are people that are doing it. So props.
I walked in the restaurant and he was there and I was like, oh my God, he's so cute. And then it was like on from there. So we had this great first date, didn't want it to end. And it was just super fun. And I was definitely thinking he was judging me, everything I was saying, because he was super quiet. He's shy, like you said. Yeah. But
oh my God, we're always shy guys.
Yeah, but aww. He is emotionally available. So at the end of the night, we very matter-of-factly had that conversation, because the one thing I really liked about the dating, all the dating I've done, is they will always ask me out for a second date, and I have a streak. They they always ask me out for a second date during the first date. They don't even let me go. So I'm like, this fucking guy's gonna let me go
yeah,
without God. Asking. I couldn't believe it. And
oh,
then
no.
so finally, like, he was just like, okay, look, this is the awkward part. And so
I could just see him doing that. That's
yeah,
so cute.
Yeah. So
do you have a picture of you and Joey that you'll have to send us one for the mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically what we did is we put our numbers in each other's phones and we took selfies for the contacts that night, that first
oh
night.
Oh my God.
So we have a picture of one I'm in the forefront and one he's in the forefront on each other's phones.
Oh my God.
And we're each in the background. You
I
know,
want those.
Of the
I
other
selfies. Send me those.
I wish I could go in a time machine and do that with Jeff. We did our selfie were like in the same plane, but
yeah,
that's cute.
So we're making arrangements to go out on the second date, and my life is really busy, and I'm like, well, I have this, my book study Friday night. I have this Saturday, that Sunday. I'm like, I'm available next Tuesday.
And that's like, how mine was too.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I've got my daughter next Tuesday, Wednesday. So can we go next Thursday? So now we're talking about going out a whole nother week because we met on the Thursday. And I had this like crazy idea. And I was just like, oh, I don't have to go to book study tomorrow night. Like, I don't have to go.
Yeah.
And so I texted him. I was like, you know, I don't have to go to book study tomorrow night. Do you just want to hang out tomorrow night? And he was all over it, said yes. And he's like, and he just sent me like where to meet him. So this is where like he got me. Mm-hmm. So he tells me to meet him at this restaurant I've never heard of. So I go and it's Harvest at the Bindery.
It's no longer.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. But it was a really delicious vegan dining experience. It was really a good place. But so he bought me a book, Running with Antelope, and he tied just one pretty little flower to it with a burlap strap.
Aww.
And I don't think I've ever been given a gift on a second date.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever have. And so that was really meaningful to me.
I remember when
That's
he gifted
beautiful.
That to you, because we were running a lot at that stage. I remember us talking about it.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I really like this. And then we're sitting at the table and he's like staring at me all night, like to the point where I'm wondering if this guy might be creepy. But then we were talking and engaging and everything seemed fine. But like the stares were a little bit creepy.
It's a little heavy, man. Joseph, blink.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So basically, long story short, like we had gotten to a conversation later that night where he said, well, I guess, no, this is really important. I think this is really important yeah. for authenticity. The previous night when we were saying goodnight at the car, I told him we were talking about online dating and the games that people play and all this stuff, because we were talking about the awkwardness of asking yeah. to meet up for the second date. And he's like, we're not going to do that thing where you have to wait 3 days to call me, yada, yada. And so we were talking about that. And I said, no, I was like, look, I'm on here. I'm dating one person at a time. And I'm here because I want to fall in love. And I'm meeting people to get to know people because I'm hoping eventually one of them will be the person I'm going to fall in love with.
Yeah.
And
so, relationship ready.
I was
101.
Yeah. I wanted to fall in love.
Yeah.
And I'm not like ashamed to say, I was not ashamed to say that. So the next night he basically told me that that he has never felt the way he felt about me, since he was in high school and that he was, and he wanted to be exclusive ASAP. And he, the way he phrased it,
it's those shorts, dog.
Yeah. He said, well, you should have seen the shorts I was wearing that night. He said, I want to date you. And it was, when we were talking about it, he basically like sold me his case and he ended it with, I want to date you. And what he said was, he said, I'm emotionally available. Aww. He used those words and that like meant.
You're like, oh, universe, you're showing off now.
Yeah. And that meant a lot to me. So I made the decision like, well, I'm not dating anyone else anyway. Like I'll play your game. Okay. We'll see. I'm like, but I will be watching you, you know? So I was definitely, it's not like I jumped right in like, okay, yeah. And it took me many months, you know, to get all through my stuff and when's the next shoe going to drop? When am I going to see the truth? When am I going to see that he's actually really still married or not married? Or, you know, I was just waiting for that thing that made all this not real, mm-hmm. but it never came. And in time, it took time for me to fully.
Because it's a new experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you get solid with yourself, then bringing yourself all the way forward, when you're that comfortable with yourself and you know yourself that well, it's almost like more to risk, if you will, because you're all there. It's all on the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it was like a decision was definitely made worth it to take the risk, but I was still looking and I was still watching. I mean, in some ways you might say I still am. Just gonna be honest, but I do like I can also genuinely say I genuinely like love and trust him, and I know him, and he's proven what he said to me that second night that he is emotionally available, and he, you know, he's jumped hurdles for me to meet me where I am. Like our whole relationship has been, you know, he feels it's his duty to meet me where I am, so he's doing everything that he can to do that, and what I can do for him in return, you know, is to be gentle and loving and kind, and to also see him, Like I want to see him as well. And so the other thing that we talked about probably that first week was, our relationship ideals, and that what we want to be for our partner is, their biggest cheerleader. We're here on the path together, to help each other grow because we have a destiny to fulfill, and it's something that we can help each other achieve together. And so we've definitely existed in that. It's been really hard when things got hard this past year for me. Like I had circumstances in my life that got hard where he just walked alongside me and carried me in it. There wasn't a whole lot of growth. In fact, there was probably a ton of regression. So it hasn't always felt that we're, you know, walking and growing together. But I know in hindsight, I'll see like an incredible amount of growth because we always do. And he always reminds me that, yeah, we are growing. And every time we go through something like this, we come out stronger.
Well, you guys also have an incredible spiritual practice together, which is like an ideal or an ideal for me anyway. You know, Jeff and I have had periods of that and then have moved in and out of it, kind of ebb and flow. And there is something about being so connected to someone when you have a combined spiritual practice.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that that's a testament to Joey. Like what he always tells people, when he first met me, he was just inspired. And he was inspired by my spiritual connection. And I think
Mike says the same thing. And I was going to say, I think it doesn't have to look any particular way, but like your spiritual practice, your philosophical approach to the world. Mm-hmm. Like there's other ways to kind of think about what that is for you. But I don't know. It's like being in communion with the universe together, whatever that means for you, whether it's like the lens that you both look at it through or the philosophy that you resonate with or the spiritual practice that you both practice. Or there's different ways to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And like our spiritual practice has grown and changed. And what I was going to say was that's just a testament to his commitment to meet me where I am and then for us to grow together.
Absolutely. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm.
Yeah. So I know like I wish I could just spend like a whole hour saying all the things wonderful about Joey, because I know I'm going to like get out of here and I'll be like, oh, I forgot to say that his booty's really cute, or, you know, something like that. But I don't know. He knows. He knows.
Well, your story is inspiring. It's lovely to hear it. It has been great to sit and listen to it and to interject with just another thing only a couple of times.
Just one more thing.
I love just one more thing. What else do you have?
It's your new trope, man.
Can we use the just one more thing as the intro? Just one more thing. You ready to podcast?
All gold, just one more everything.
Yeah.
What a night tonight. This was great.
Totally beautiful.
I think my cheeks hurt from smiling tonight. I've been laughing, you guys.
Good.
It's inspiring for sure.
Well, we're looking at about an hour and 20 minutes right now.
The universe just went up on the screen.
Anything else?
Yeah. Thank you, universe.
Since I'm the whispery one tonight.
Oh, the last thing is the reminders about what we'd like all our listeners to do.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, Sandy.
What shall they do, Sandy? Lay it on them.
Dear listeners, we love you and appreciate you.
Go to
Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our podcast, All Gold Everything. Yes. Give us a 5-star review and give us a wonderful rating.
Talking to you, Mr. James.
And then one more thing. Grab your friend's phone and repeat. Thank you.
This has been a public service announcement from the Golden Girls of All Gold Everything.
That's right.
What a great night. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next time.
Hey, next time.
Love,
time,
light.
Next, next, next. That's right. Love, light, gold.